Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Father, we thank you because of your faithfulness. Thank you for the passion of your heart. Thank you for the prayers that you are causing us to pray. Thank you for your wisdom. Hey, Lord, this day, we ask that you will please stretch forth your hand upon us. We are looking unto you to do something that will be indelible in our lives, one after the other, as we have started to seek your face. We are asking for nothing less than a miracle of transformation. Transformation of our own hearts from complacency to the heart of compassion. Transformation, O God, of our rod from being dry and dead to become budded, yielding ripe almond fruits. Lord, transformation of our dry bones, that it will cause us to arise as a mighty army marching through the land to collect the harvest. Please, Lord, answer our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Let me ask you to turn your Bibles very quickly to the theme text. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground." The New King James said, "As if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Now, two things very critical I want you to quickly put in your mind is that the kingdom of God is not haphazard. The kingdom of God is timed. I don't know how to put that. There's timeliness in all that God does. And when the time for something to happen comes, God ensures that it happens. And what is very, very critical for me is for God to help me and you to recognize the time in which we now are. To recognize the time in which God has brought us. To recognize what we must do at a time like this. And if I will say it very straight away, that there is a time of planting. There is a time in which what is planted appears dormant in the ground. There's a time you call the time of gestation for that which is planted. There's a time when everything looks dormant and dead. But the fact that things were dormant, things were dead, things were dry, does not mean that the kingdom of God is suspended. the fact that some of us, we were so eager to see the move of God revival many, many years ago, and we didn't see it. That did not in any way suggest that God is not doing his work. That's the first thing I'm praying that I could press upon you, because it's very important to note that so as to be able to understand how to respond to what God is asking us to do now. That the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, as if nothing is happening. And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. There are things that we don't know how. There are things we cannot completely explain that this is how it is, or this is how it will be, or this is when that will be. There are things we don't know how. I will call them the mystery of the way God does his kingdom. And there are many things that the Bible keeps saying you don't know. For example, it says you don't know how the bones do grow in the womb of a woman that has a baby. You don't know. So you don't know the way of the Spirit. You don't know whether this seed is the one that will cast or that one that will walk. He says, so in the morning, sow your seed. In the afternoon, don't withhold your hand. In the evening, sow your seed. For you don't know whether this or that will work out. That's what Ecclesiastes says. Things about the kingdom of God, many, many times, we may not know how to explain it. That's the first thing I wanted to mark. But that the kingdom of God actually works with time. And that God follows divine timing in everything he does. And I will give you illustrations of this very quickly so that I can move out of that. Now, you remember that there were prophecies, great prophecies about what God was going to do with the children of Israel. How God even spoke to Abraham that his children are going to expand, they are going to fill the earth and everywhere that God spoke to him. But that they will first go and serve a nation for 400 years before he will bring them back. And that was a sign that the will of God that God is promising Abraham was going to come to pass. And you know that they were in that place for 400 years, and it looked as if nothing was happening. As if they should sleep by night and rise by day, not knowing what was going to happen. As if God had slept. God never sleeps over any of the things he wants to do. God only watches his time. He does everything beautiful in its time. Please take note of some of what I'm dealing with today. I want you to note that the kingdom of God works with time. And when God announces that this is the time of harvest, I want God to help you understand that that is not a slogan for us. That is not just that we are fishing for Bible passages to read. That is not just that we are trying to, you know, just mobilize ourselves. No. All the things that God had been speaking to us in time, we have seen them coming to pass. We have seen God working with time. And there's need for us to understand that the time we have now reached, God is saying it is the time of harvest. But listen, when the time came, when the 400 years is now coming, God began to cause things to happen. Part of what God caused to happen, which I want all of you to listen to me about, is the fact that God caused a Pharaoh to arise who knew no Joseph. A Pharaoh who decided to make life difficult for the children of Israel. A Pharaoh that made the children of Israel to start crying for their deliverance. Several years before then, they did not cry for deliverance. They were enjoying themselves. Even if anybody say it is time to go, they will say, no, we are not going anywhere. What are we going to do again? We are settled here. But when it is time for Exodus, when it is time for God to harvest his people from that land of bondage, he began to make things difficult. He began to cause things to become difficult, very tough, very tight. And so they started crying. And the Bible said the cry of the children of Israel rose to the ears of God by the reason of their affliction. Brothers and sisters, I would like to say to you, I pray that I may be clear to you as the Lord will be speaking, that things that have happened to us, things that have happened to us in Nigeria, things that have happened to us in Africa, things that have happened in Europe, including all those terrible things that we are seeing, gay marriage and all the things and all of that that is happening, they were not something outside the plan. They were happening in order to bring us to this time of the harvest. God is causing everything to happen according to his determinate counsel, so that this time of the harvest may come. Several of you are sitting in different nations, in Europe, in US, in Belize, in Canada, even in Pakistan, in different parts of the world where this word of God is going. Some of you are sitting together somewhere in Russia and you are following MLR and you are wondering, why did God bring all of us to this now at this kind of time? Is because the timing that God has set for this thing to happen has now come. And there are peculiar things we need to understand about this time. And that's why the prayers that we started praying are very crucial. God is going to do something with our lives as you are sitting in this meeting, as we have been praying. You will not live here the same way you came. Something we bought out of your life suddenly in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know that when the time came, that was when Jochebed and her husband, Amram, put to bed this young man called Moses. And why in the midst of all of that, God was looking at the man who will lead the Exodus? If he had been born 100 years before then, he would not be relevant. If he was born even 80 years before that time, there will be no point. Himself will have grown old and he will have died even in that land of bondage and nothing will have happened. So the time of his birth was occasioned according to the will of God. So by the time it was time for them to be released from the house of bondage, God's man, the reaper, was ready. Maybe others have prayed, maybe others have prophesied, but when the time for their exodus had not come, nobody could do anything. Now, mark that, because it's very important for you to mark that. You will remember that the Bible talked about Joseph, the one that was sold into Egypt. His feet were shod in fetters of iron until his time came. I want you to think about it now. When the time came, what did anybody need to do? God occasioned the king to have his dream. God occasioned that nobody could interpret the dream. And they remembered Brother Joseph at the appointed time. If he had been remembered 2 years earlier, it would have been no point. Maybe he would have been delivered back to the house of Potiphar, where he was a permanent slave. But in the time that God ordained, they had to go to the prison. And right from the prison, I can see they shaved him, they gave him good clothes to wear, so he can appear before the king. And from the prison, he went straight to the palace. From the palace, he became the prime minister in the land. And that was it. When God's time has not come, everything may appear dormant. Everything may look quiet. There are certain things that could be done when the time of harvest has not come. And we should thank God that those of us that God allowed to be doing one thing or the other, when the time of harvest had not come, we thank God for that. The question that was coming, which I want you to look at very deliberately in this, is the fact that when the time for Jesus to be born came, look at what the Bible said. When it was time, God sent his angel first to Zechariah, because according to plan, John the Baptist needed to be born at least 6 months so that he can be a forerunner for the Savior, the Messiah. So God worked with time. And when the time came, Jesus was born according to the word of God. He said, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, when the fullness of time was come. So I want you to know that everything that God does in the kingdom, he does it with time. There's nothing that God has ever done outside his time. The kingdom of God is actually timed and timely. And my own cry over the years, and I am only understanding again now how God began to speak to me many, many years ago when I was begging God to use me. And he now gave me a scripture that has ruled my life over the years. He says, it's not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. And I was trying to search, what does that mean? Then I went back, looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I returned. I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. Now, look at it from the Living Bible. Again, I looked throughout the earth, and I saw that the swiftest person does not always win the race, nor the strongest man the battle, and that wise men are often poor, and skillful men are not necessarily famous. It is all by chance, by happening to be at the right place at the right time. When God began to open my eyes to see that for me to accomplish anything for God, I must obtain mercy. And mercy is what will position a man to be at the right place at the right time, doing what that time is meant for. Even as we are praying and as we are waiting on God for what God wants to do, how I pray that God will be so merciful to you that you will be at the right place, at the right time, being involved in the right thing that you ought to be involved in. It's not just running up and down. It's not just walking here and there. It is being in the right place at the right time, doing what that particular time is meant to be done. If you are doing what this time is not meant for, you are wasting your life. If you are involved in something else outside what God is doing now, you are going to be kicking against the pricks and your life may not result anywhere. I just pray that God will have mercy upon us in this, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to note that everything was done to time. In fact, Jesus was one who by life demonstrated what it means to be at the right place at the right time. I took time to look at Jesus and I discovered that everything he did, there was a timing for it. there was a prophetic word over it. And the time in which it should happen, that's when Jesus got into happen. Everything. I've been praying, Lord, don't allow my life to be disarranged. Don't let me be involved in things when the time for it has passed. And don't let me come to do something when the time for it is not yet. Don't allow me to be involved in something that's already outdated as far as God's plan is concerned. Whatever we are doing, when the time for that thing has expired, Lord, help me to put it aside. Now, if you look at even the day of Pentecost, all of you should read what the Bible says about Pentecost. I'm saying all of this because I want you to know that the kingdom of God does not happen anyhow. And if we are involved in the kingdom, and if what we are doing is what God is asking us to do in the push for his kingdom, then we must understand divine timing. And then you must respond to time. Now, listen carefully. In Acts chapter 2, which you already know, look at how the Bible put it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, so which means there is a time that God had ordained even for the Holy Ghost to be released. The day for it has to be fully come. When it has not come, they had to wait. They had to wait praying. They had to wait quietly. They had to wait secretly. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, you can see what happened. You can see the harvest. You can see the way God moved. Because I kept wondering, Lord, how did it happen that 2 days ago, these brothers were in hiding? 2 days ago, nobody wanted to hear them. But when the day of Pentecost came, straight away, a Peter that people knew as a barbarian, a Peter that was so fearful that even before a small girl, he was denying Jesus. How suddenly, overnight, this same Peter became a man who could stand up and could speak one message and 3,000 will be saved, because the day, the time set for this kind of move had come. All right. Now, look at the word of God again. The story of this woman was so exciting to me as our brother was leading us through it. And I saw God again speaking something deeply to me. John 4:34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Do you not say that? Because according to you, you already programmed there are at least 4 more months. Let me just be doing other things." He said, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." Now, but listen. If it has just stopped there, I would not have worried again. But he went on to do something that is very touching to my own heart. He said, "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. That both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors." Now, what does that show me, brothers? What does that point to me, dear sisters? That in the kingdom of God, there is time. And depending on in which time God has called you to labor. Now, if God has called you at the time of sowing, At the time of casting the seed, you are just to cast the seed and you don't know what to do else except to sleep and to wake up. You are faithfully planted, but you can't do anything more than that. And so you have been called at the time of sowing. And so the people that sowed, they may not see the result. They may not see the harvest. It did not show that they have failed. It did not show that they did not serve God. They did serve God. Those who labored to translate Bible into those languages in anticipation that one day the Bible will be in those languages and those language people will find something to read to lead them to the Savior. They may not record one soul. There may be no soul recorded against their name, but they have been brought at the time of sowing, at the time of planting. But now look at the Bible. It said, but there are others that have been brought in at the time of reaping because the harvest is ready. So, in the same manner, those who sow and he who reaps may rejoice together. So, two things I want to say to you now, and it's very critical. There are many, many brothers and sisters that have gone ahead of us, whom God used so seriously in sowing the seed, whom God used in planting, in laying foundations, in writing things that they wrote that brought us to where we are and we could walk and we could draw from what they labor. But it was not in their time that harvest is coming. It is not in their own time that the time of reaping will come. So the question that is very critical for me, which I pray that God will open your eyes to see, what time are we now? What time are we now in the process of the kingdom of God? What time am I? And the Lord began now to bring this light to us. And in that Mark chapter 4 that we read, it said the kingdom of God, this is how the kingdom of God is. It's as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day. There are people that have scattered the seed and they have slept. They were waiting that maybe harvest will come in their time. He didn't come until they slept. There are others that they slept night and day and they did not see anything. But yet there are others that by the time they came into the labor, the seed started to sprout. The seed began to grow. But it was not in their time that this seed that is sprouting will become harvest that we can take. And so you see, Paul understood this. He said, somebody was asked to plant, another one was sent to water, another person was sent to reap. All of us, we are doing something, but in the continuation of the vineyard. Now look at the word of God. And he himself does not know how. There are many things that we don't know how they happen. There are many things that God does that he may even use us to join him to do, and we don't know how it will happen. We don't know how the result will be. But now, he said, for the heart yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. All of these are the mysteries of the kingdom. All of these are the things that God does and is beyond our capacity to explain it. Up till now, you don't know how to explain what makes a seed to shoot out and the kind of shape, the kind of body that God gives it. You don't know. It is not the kind of seed you planted that will come out. It will come out with a different expression. It will come out with a different manifestation. This is what God does. Now, but when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Did you notice that there's a time now? As we are going to spend time furthermore to pray, the first thing that was touching me is the fact that, yes, some of us, we are waking up into the time of harvest. And if some of you are just not conscious that God is talking about a time change. The other day, I was talking with our brothers in Canada. They were announcing the Bible study, and they said, look, they need to announce that there's going to be a time change from tomorrow night, and that all of you should adjust your time because time will change. That doesn't happen in Africa. I've never known any time that changed since I was born in Nigeria. It has been the same all over. But there, they know that there's a time change, and everybody will change. Everybody will start thinking differently. Now, I pray that the Holy Ghost will do something to our hearts for you to know now that there's a time change. The time of harvest has now come. What was impossible for them to do for 400 years in the days of the children of Israel in Egypt, when the time came, oh my God, when the time came, that same day, when the time arrived for them to leave Egypt, that same night, oh my God, that was an exodus, because it is time. If we are not talking of timing, and if we are not talking about supernatural working in order to meet up with the divine timing, exodus should not happen in one day. Maybe some of them should be going small, small. Maybe 20 people will be released now, another 50 people. That was what even Pharaoh was saying. You go first, leave your children. And then after some time, you come back and see whether you carry them. They said, no. The day we are leaving at once. Because that's the promise. That's the divine arrangement. So the day they were leaving like this, the Bible said they left en masse. Not only that they left en masse, they spoiled Egypt. They took all that they needed to take. Egypt suffered because God was taking out his people. He said, let my people go. Let my son go. When it is time, you can't stop them. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm very, very confident to announce to you that the season that God has been announcing to us for the past 5 years, we have been watching. And if you have understood the way God had been dealing with us, I have seen several times that God will say, the time for this one has finished. The time for this one has finished. And whenever we obeyed God, we saw what God was doing. And it was 5 years ago, I think we were in South Africa, when God began to speak. This was around June. God began to say, things that he has caused us to do, the way we are doing it, we cannot achieve because time is running out on us. And that he is going to change what we are doing. He is going to turn things about. And I remember calling our brothers, the two of them that were with me then, Brother Dennis and Brother Tewas, I said, bro, did you see what God is saying now? That we can't continue to do this again. We won't come to this South Africa for this millet again. We won't be able to go up and down again. God is saying there's something else he wants to show us how to do it. And in that meeting, in June, July, we took a decision in obedience to God. We said, okay, Lord, what do you want us to do? He said, you are going to release this thing. You are going to release this thing. It's no longer going to be in one center. We say, oh God, there was no COVID that time. We were just obeying God. We don't know anything about that. We just said, Lord, okay, if that's what you wanted, we are willing to obey you. We are willing to obey you. It was looking as if we're not going to lose out. He said, all your children shall be made righteous. He gave us such promises. If you know how confident we are, sitting before God, knowing that everywhere you are standing, and all the brothers that are standing out there, who are leading the centers, who are taking the word of God, who are leading the Bible study, who are leading the prayer, who are doing everything that God is asking them to do, God told us that he will raise people like you who will run and do this for himself, to his own glory alone. Now, we have seen that when he said it is time, and he began to announce to us that this is what he is about to do. We don't know how. I remember that by the time we were finishing MLR in 2019, that's the last time we all gathered in Boko. Somebody walked up to me and said, "Sir, God is worrying that maybe we should go on satellite, that we can't gather people like this again." And I was smiling. God didn't know that since 6 months before, God had been speaking. We have been only waiting for what is the direction? What is the wisdom? Some of you that used to come to Boko from other nations, the summit of nations we are doing, if you remember that in one of those meetings, one of those days, I was telling you, I said, look at yourselves. This thing that we have allowed you to come to Nigeria to see, it is so that you will go and do it back at home. You won't come here again. It was looking at her, what are we saying? And the final charge that day was, go and set the trap. Go back to your nation, set the trap. That a bed will not fall down if there is no trap for it. If you don't set the trap, the whole thing that you have seen here will not happen in your country. I thank God that several of them that were there, they are now the ones setting traps in their countries now. And you can see that we can't have Summit of Nations again. Because how do we bring all the thousands that are sitting in different centers in Liberia? I know that year when they came so much, they were 36. And we were breathing up and down, say, oh, thank God, 36 people have come. Then we took Redock about 112 that came from Ghana. And we are talking about 26 that came all the way from South Africa. And it was a big thing. And I remember in that year, we were counting about 1,500 foreigners that have come for MLR, and it was a wonderful meeting. But God said, and that will be the last of that kind. But we don't know how God was going to do it. We have walked with God in time. We have seen God setting time for whatever he wants to do. And permit me to say to you, with all sense of responsibility, that the time has changed. The time that we have reached now is the time of harvest. And building up to this, God kept speaking to us. He spoke to us about Rehoboth, that was bringing us to a Rehoboth, a season of Rehoboth. He was talking to us about the season of open heavens. He said, you will see the heavens open. You will see greater things than this. You will see what you have never seen before. You will see what God is going to do from now on. And so part of the prayer, I'm going to release you to go and pray. Along with the serious issues of prayer that were raised for us, about God pouring upon us the compassion of his heart, the insatiable desire in the heart of God for souls, that God will cause our dry bones to rise again and become an army for the harvest. And that God will cause our dry rod to bud, to sprout, to bring forth buds and to produce blossoms and to yield ripe almonds. For God to do that, that will be part of what I'm going to release you to go and pray about. I feel we should just pray that God will not allow us to fail in the time of this harvest. Now, what I'm dealing with is the fact that the kingdom of God has always worked with time. God himself has done all things beautiful in his time. Everything that God has ever done, the time to plant, the time to reap, the time to sow, the time to uproot, all of this time, God has worked with it. And God is working again. He said, for the harvest has come. He was talking about time. He was talking about this is the time when the harvest will be brought in. Some of you are thinking that we are going to be doing it as we are doing it when the time of harvest has not come. Some of you are imagining that the way you went doing things and it was a struggle, that's how we are going to struggle. The time for that struggle has finished. The time for the harvest has come. And I'm telling you, God began to speak to us. God began to speak to us about what he will do to our lives to make us fit into the harvest. Can you see what God did to the disciples? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you are going to do to us. By the time Jesus was leaving, which of the 12 disciples will you say is ready for anything? And is it Peter that denied Jesus 3 times? Was it the same Peter that led the people back to the riverside and said, I'm going out fishing, and they went back fishing? Was it Thomas that was still doubting? Was it those brothers that were going on the road to Emmaus and they did not know scripture? Were all those people the ones that you are going to have depended upon that they would do something? But Jesus knew that something will happen to them before the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost will come upon their lives. The Holy Ghost will overshadow them. I perceive that for the time not to fail, and God never fails time. Hallelujah. He said, though it tarries, wait for it will not tarry. God's time will never tarry. It will come to pass. It was in July, we were in Equa Church, and God began to speak about this again. God began to say, yes, all the conflicts, all the challenges, all the contradictions, all the difficulty that we have seen in our land, in our nation, and all of that, they are only making us ready, prepared to cry, so that the time that God has set for our visitation, we may be ready for it. We may be ready for it. I sense that all the preparation, all the discipleship that God had exposed several of us to, the time for his fulfillment has come. The time for us to become what God is saying we will be has come. The time when the only thing that matters now is what my life is being used for in the purpose of God. So because the time of the harvest has come, there was 2 words that I saw there. But when the grain ripens, immediately, so there's going to be an immediacy in our response. An immediacy in the way we are going to respond to God. That's why we couldn't wait. That's why Brother Dennis began to say that some of you, God is going to deliver you from sin. He's going to deliver you like he delivered the woman of Samaria. But immediately, you will be part of the reapers. You will be part of the sickles that God was going to use to draw others to himself in this day of harvest. And so as you are praying, you are not only praying that the passion of Jesus will fall on you. You are not only praying that God will change your lifeless, dry, dead rod to the rod that has budded. You are not only going to ask God, say, this is my dry bone. Let it come to life. Let it stand up and become an army. You are going to now pray and say, Lord, locate me in the middle of this harvest. Locate me for what you are doing now. Because I was looking at all the people that Jesus raised, and I saw that if not for what happened to them overnight, suddenly, if it was that, okay, let them go through the processes they are going through, some of them are not ready for 10 years. But because Jesus knew that the time for him to leave came, he said, I can't stay beyond it. I'm going now. But the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, oh my God, they were ready. God was ready to use them. And that was how God's work went on. And even as I'm speaking to you now, I perceive that God is ready to work with our lives. God is ready to change your story. God is ready to turn things around even on your behalf. God is ready to work his own work in our own day. It will be a surprise to people, but God is going to do it. And harvest is come. And all the challenges you see in America, the challenges you see in Belize, the challenges we have seen in Europe and in UK, the challenges we have seen in Asia, in Arab world, in Israel, and in all the Middle East, all those challenges, they are all working towards the harvest. And harvest is here. God may allow us to be part of the beginning of that harvest, but I'm trusting God that this harvest will be an ingathering. It will be like the feast of ingathering. We will come under open heavens throughout, and God will begin to bring in all that he had planted over the years, all that he has sown the life of Jesus to produce, they will be brought in. Notorious sinners will be brought in. Those that you thought are far off, that God cannot have something to do with them, they will become vanguards of this move of God. And some of you are sitting here and you are saying, maybe Ragbile cannot be talking about people like us. I am too terrible for God to use me. Paul was more terrible than you. Listen to me. Paul was an injurious person. When we say somebody was injurious, that was not a small word. If Paul entered a congregation now, everybody began to run because they know him. He was coming to kill. He was coming to maim. He was coming to send them to prison. And he was going with the authority to go and misbehave like that when God arrested him. Arrested him on the road to Damascus. And that same day, for the next 3 days, he entered into fasting and prayer. By the time God was sending Ananias to him, the introduction God gave Ananias said, behold, he prays. As if to say, this man has been captured to the point that he is now begging God for help. Go now and minister to him. And as soon as his eyes were opened, they gave him bread to eat. He followed them. He was going in and out with them, in and out with them, preaching the gospel right from Damascus. That was what happened when God comes to harvest a soul. When it is not time for such harvest, you may try to win a soul. It's like you are trying to plant something during the dry season. Oh my God, you water it. Even when you thought it will produce fruit, it never produced anything ripened. Before you can go near, it has dropped off. Nobody ate it. It just cumbered the ground because of the time in which it was planted. Because of the time in which it was growing. But when the time of harvest come, when the time of God's visitation come, like it came on the day of Pentecost. Imagine that 3,000 responded. 3,000 were baptized. 3,000 was added to the brethren. 3,000 were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Nobody was going up and down with all this kind of elaborate, empty follow-up. You go for a meeting, people say they raise their hand, you ask them to come for follow-up, or you even visit them. When you even get to their house, they say, oh, sorry, oh, I didn't mean that, oh, and I don't want you to come and trouble me here, please. When the man preached, he said, those who want to be blessed should raise their hand. And I just want to be blessed, that's why I raised my hand. I don't think I want to join you, and I'm not interested in what you are doing. That's the kind of story we have had. To the point that when you see people trooping out, your heart says, hey, that's how they come. They won't come. They won't stay. They won't stand. Because you are thinking of the time when it was not harvest. You are thinking of the time when there is dryness. You are thinking of the time when nothing is happening. But not now. There's a time change. And heaven will want me to tell you that kingdom of God is always like that. When the time for something to happen begins, everything will turn. When the time for Jesus to be born came, you can see all things came to a standstill. Even national censors were called so that that prophecy can come to pass. When the time for God to do anything comes, everything must work together to bring it to pass. So, as I will be asking you to join me in prayer, you can say, oh God, if I was born at the time of harvest, what must I be? In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5, Old King James says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. There are times you can sleep and nobody worries you. If you sleep in winter, maybe. But when summer comes, that's when everything sprouts. That's when fruit are out. If you don't gather in summer, then you are foolish. The ant will be wiser than you. Because the ants, they don't have leaders, they don't do anything, but they are so intelligent enough to gather all their food in summer, so that when winter comes, they have no problem at all. They have everything they will need to survive all through. The son that gathers in summer is a wise son. But the one that sleeps through the time of harvest is a son that causes shame. And this is where I'm ending. Know the importance of the season you are in, and a wise son you will be. If you don't know the importance of this season in which you are in, you are likely to be doing useless things. If you don't know the importance of this moment in which God has brought us, regardless of how many years of dryness we have known before, my heart was praying for these different nations in Europe. And I knew what has been the challenge. Because of many years of dryness, many years of wrong doctrine, many years where people turn away from the church, turn away from the word of God, you might conclude that Europe is a foregone conclusion, as if God is not going to visit UK, God is not going to visit Germany, God is not going to visit Switzerland. Stop that. Stop that. God told us years and years ago that the sickness that fell on UK is not unto death. That it will still turn around for the glory of God. And I've been watching several things happening. I've been watching. But you see, when the time for God to do a thing has not come, there's not much we can do. We can only be doing whatever he said we should do. He said, go and dig ditches, fill the land with ditches and all of that. But the one that will release the water, the one that will cause the land to be filled again, is him, but he's watching his own time. So when the time has come, you need to know the importance of the season you are in. You need to recognize that God works with seasons. Some of you say, no, I used to talk, nobody listen. It's not going to be like that again. Some of you might imagine that maybe young people are not interested. Let me tell you, they are not interested because the time of their harvest has not come. But now the season has changed. Know the importance of the season you are in, and a wise son you will be. But what a waste when an incompetent son sleeps through his day of opportunity. If there's anything I've been praying for, don't allow also God to sleep in this day of our own opportunity. Don't allow us to miss this season when God is saying, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Go down, the wine press is full, the vats overflow. Yes, their wickedness is great, that's true. But in the midst of their wickedness, multitudes are already in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near, and men need to be led. Now, as I conclude, I was just looking at that woman that Brad Dennis was using as an illustration for us. I saw that this is a woman, and Jesus was in a very big move before. In Judea, can you imagine that they said he had baptized even more than John the Baptist? That's to say that John the Baptist that had been baptizing for months, what Jesus did in a short while was far more than that. But Jesus knew that his ministry was not to be a comparison and contrast and competition with John. When he heard that Pharisees were talking like that, and they had already gone to talk to John also and said, the man you baptized the other time is baptizing on the other side, and everybody is going to him. Jesus knew it was time to leave Judea. And as our brother was pointing, going through Samaria was off course. It wasn't the shortest road. It was the longest route you could ever take back to Galilee. But look at Jesus. He was compelled. The Bible says he had to pass through. He needed to pass through. And I was saying, Lord, what was it that was compelling Jesus? A great man of God who has had great influence in Judea. The people have seen his miracle. They have seen wonderful things and they are trooping around him. How did he come and sat on a well just for a woman? And this woman was such a woman that had no respect, no decorum. See the way he was talking to Jesus. He was making Jesus look as if he didn't know what he was doing. But look at how Jesus deliberately, patiently waited, guided that woman, spoke to her life, did not ridicule her, did not use the gift of the Holy Spirit to intimidate her. He waited for this woman to come to a point where he would say, I need that water. That water you are talking about, I need it so that I don't come here. He said, now go bring me your husband. That's the beginning. And when you say, yes, you have no husband, actually. You have had 5 husbands, and the number you are staying with, number 6, is not your husband. You have spoken truly. The woman said, hey, are you a prophet? Are you a prophet? That was the beginning. And until Jesus brought her to the point of revealing to her the Messiah. But at that point, her life changed. And I was looking at a woman that, even though on the outside she looks so clumsy, she looks so confused, she looked as if someone that cannot become anything. See the kind of thing that God could do if her life was changed. There are many people, brothers and sisters, who are sitting on the edge. There are many brothers, many people that you think there's nothing that will come out of their lives. But those are the men that God is waiting for us to bring in. That woman was the gateway to Samaria. I don't think Jesus would have passed through that Samaria only for the disciples to go and be looking for bread of wheat and the meat of Samaritans. I don't think so. There was something he was looking for. And when he got it, he said, I've got my meat now. As you are going to join me to pray, will you say, Lord, don't let me become oblivious of the time of the season in which we are. Don't let me be behaving as if I am missing the point of your calling me. Lord, do something with my life now. I don't want to be a foolish son. A foolish son is the one that is sleeping in his day of opportunity. Lord, wake my heart up. I want you to go into the place of prayer. I want you to join me now as we call on God together and just say, oh God, this life that you have given me is lifeless presently, is dry, is dead, but you are saying that it can board. I'm bringing my life before you. Do something to me that will change my story. Do something to me that will bring a newness to me. Because the time of harvest has come. The time that I must be relevant in your will has come. The time when my life must make a sense to all the people has come. Lord, do something to me. The compassion of your heart that makes you see souls, no matter how many times you have traveled around, No matter how many places you have gone to preach, and you still see multitude that are yet to be told the right thing. You couldn't sleep again. You can't sit down. Lord, pour that upon me. Change my story. Bow your heart and begin to call God. I want you to say, Lord, help me not to be oblivious of the season in which I am. Don't allow me to be looking at this time as if I'm using the eye of last year or of 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Lord, I am coming for you to do what you say you will do. The kingdom of God works with time and seasons. And now that it is the season for the harvest, the season for the ingathering, the season for souls to be torn, you may not know what God will do. You don't always need to know. You only need to obey God. Will you pray and say, Lord, here am I. Do something with me. Do something in my life. Change my story. Take away my barrenness. Please pray. Call on God for yourself now. It is time for God to walk. It is time for the Holy Spirit to move. It is time for something to change about you. Oh Lord, we are calling on you. Do something deliberate with our lives. Do something. Walk in this place, oh God. Change my story. Change my story. Change my story. Walk in me until your purpose is fully accomplished, until your will is done in my life. Keep praying right now. Keep talking to God for yourself. Now, it is possible that you are even thinking a person like you, because of so many failures, because of sin, because of your falling, you are falling into many pits, and you are saying, but I'm not in position to help anybody. The woman was not in position to help anybody. But when Jesus changed her life, everything about her changed. Your life can change today, and you become a blessing to your generation. God can remove that difficulty in your life, and your life will never remain the same again. That woman was not followed up by anybody. But see how many she went and dragged to God. And after 2 days, people say, we have heard him ourselves. We have believed because of him, not even because you told us anything. God is able to walk beyond what you can think about. So if your heart is saying, but Lord, change my life first. I am that dead rod. I am that dead, dry rod that you need to do something upon. Make my life to board again. Go ahead and call on God. My life is dry. I am that dry bone you are talking about. I'm supposed to be a man on my feet for God. But look at me, I'm scattered. My life is scattered. Everything about me is scattered. Lord, do something about me. God, who is able to do? God, who is able to change? God, who is able to make a dry bone to come together until they become alive? He's able to do that in your life now. Go ahead and pray. Only one thing I don't want you to do is to pretend. I'd like you to tell God just as it is and say, Lord, I have come. Just as I am, just as I am, just as I am, just as I am. Lord, just as I am, I have come to you. Thank you, Father. Lord, prevail with our lives. Whatever brought deadness, whatever made our lives dry, whatever scattered our lives and our bones, Lord, breathe upon us now. Lord, I'm asking that there will be a deep walk of the Holy Spirit in different lives. Even those that are backsliders, you will call them back now. Those that are in the dungeon of sin, you will call them out. That woman, though she had a desire, oh, she said, we have been told that a Messiah is coming, but nobody showed her the Messiah. But you appeared to her and her life changed. Lord, you will do it again. Lord, we are trusting you that this meeting is going to mark a turning point in several of our lives. Please sort us out and don't allow us to return until you have changed our story. This you will do for us and for every man. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed.